How's it going tonight, Cobb's Comedy Club? Yeah, we got Garfunkel and Oates in the house. You guys ready to party? Oh, make some noise over here! I say California knows how. You said to party! Simple instruction. Let's try it again. California knows how
to party!
When I say Street Fighter 2, you say Championship Edition! Street Fighter 2!
Championship Edition!
When I say non-Hodgkins, you say lymphoma! Non-Hodgkins!
Lymphoma!
When I say this isn't, you say working out! This isn't!
Working out!
When I say, let's see, you say, other people. Let's see.
Other people.
When I say, restraining, you say,
order.
Restraining.
Order.
Restraining.
Order.
Tell you guys a little bit about myself. I'm single. I know. It's a shocker. I'm single. My ex-girlfriend isn't single. I know this not because I'm stalking her on Facebook, which I am, but because she's dating like a close friend of mine. Yeah, it's a weird situation to be in. I think I'm handling it all right. I think some guys freak out, lose their cool, or just like, dude, bros before hoes, man. What the fuck? Stop fucking my ex-girlfriend. So you're gonna keep fucking her. You're just like two consensual adults. And me as a third party, I have no say in this whatsoever. Okay, yeah, cool, yeah, let's go to the weight room and hug it out over some Slipknot, yeah. Oh, you like this? Yeah, it's barbed wire. I was thinking tribal, but at the last minute, you know, thank you for noticing, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's not who I am, you know? I think, like, if I had to describe my philosophy about the situation, I think it's more like used cars. Just like, dude, if you can fix her, you can have her.
Just get her out of my driveway. She's been there for weeks. I did a whole rebound thing. That blew up in my face. I knew this girl for about 5 days, and she said she had a secret plan to marry me. Like, what the fuck? Like, haven't you ever seen a James Bond movie? Like, don't you know you're not supposed, you as the villain, you're not supposed to tell me your secret evil plan until it's done. Otherwise, I have, like, time to stop you. It's not how you do it. You should have waited until we've gotten married and been like, oh, Kevin, by the way, for, like, the last 5 years or so, I've been systematically isolating you from your friends and loved ones. So you feel like your only chance at happiness is with me. That's how villainy is done, ladies. Thank you guys for coming out for Newlyweds Night at Cobb's Comedy Club. We've got a great show for you. I don't know what my problem. I think part of my problem with women is, I know it's totally cliche to say, but I like my ladies like I like my coffee. Non-fat venti cappuccinos with like a little bit of cinnamon on top. I'm sorry, I think I fucked that one up. I totally fucked that one up. I'm sorry, that's really unprofessional. I meant to say, I like my girls like I like my coffee. Sluts. Non-fat sluts. I think what I'm trying to get, like, you guys just ever been like single and you know you're just alone, you're in a cold, dark room, and you're not sure if you're shivering or if it's just all the methamphetamines you took earlier kicking in. And you're just so cold and so alone and just so high, you just take your shaking hands and you place them on the genitals in this vain attempt to masturbate because you're so high, you're never gonna get it up. And you're so frustrated, you want to shout, but you're so high, it starts to feel good. Like, that hasn't happened to anybody here. I don't think this joke's going to work, then. I'm just going to move on. I am single now. I get to go hang out with all my friends. It's enjoyable. We traveled with, like, a big group of guys. We went to Portland. If you've never been a man traveling with a bunch of other men, first thing you do is you go to strip clubs. It's just like magnetic force just drawing 8 guys to a strip club out of town. I don't like strip clubs. I've never been into strip clubs. I've always thought they're kind of creepy. It's kind of gross. It's like girls with fake tits and fake blonde hair dancing to the fake greatest hits of Motley Crue, because there's no such thing as a great hit of Motley Crue. Like, that just doesn't exist. And they just never worked for me. It's never anything like I found arousing there. Like, they just did not have anything to offer me. And I'm like, oh, guys, we really need to go to the strip club. But no, there's no fighting this, like, tidal wave of testosterone just pulling us into a strip club. I totally forgot, though, that we were in Portland, and we ended up in this, like, indie rock strip club. And it's this tiny, freckled, red-headed girl with, like, a Kafka quote tattooed on her lower back, just, like, dancing to indie rock. She's, like, dancing to Gorillaz. It's not even a single. It's a deep cut in the album. And then the next song she started dancing to the Moldy Peaches. And I was freaking out. Like, I didn't know if I was supposed to get an erection or have an existential crisis. Because, guys, I'm not actually a real person. I'm a fictional character from the movie Juno Part 2. Like, I'm just a bit player in that. And just, like, it goes to show that, you know, we all have different ones. You know, there's a way to make a strip club work for anybody. You know, we all have our own fetishes, our own kinks. Like, I think it's impossible at this point to not have a fetish. There's so many fetish, like sex fetish websites. There's millions of sexual fetish websites. And just economically, it wouldn't make sense that there's like 5 guys who have every fetish, you know? It just, like, we all have to be supporting this in some way. Maybe not publicly, maybe you don't want to share it at a comedy club the way I am, but we all have that. And I wonder where that comes from. Like, you know, it has to be somewhere when you're young, something kind of weird happens. When I think about that, it just reminds me when I was a kid, I worked at a summer camp. And this whole summer, I shared a tent with this kid, Ken, and he was this fucking little precocious, know-it-all bastard that everybody hated. He was the whipping boy of the camp. And the guy who hated him the most was this guy, Nick. He was our archery director. And the archery director was like a weird thing there. It was kind of like the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher at Hogwarts. We had a different one every year. Like, there's something about being alone on a mountain with a bow and arrow and a lot of screaming children where you just go crazy, quit your job, and join the army. It happened every year for 5 years that I was there. I do not know why. We knew Nick lost it because he showed up in my tent, and he's holding an axe, all right? And his pants are around his ankles, and his just dick is just popping out of his boxers. And he just shouts, "Cat, suck my dick or I'm going to kill you with this axe." Ken does what we would all do in that situation. He ran. He ran as fast as he could for his fucking annoying life, all right? I think I did what you would probably do if you were in my shoes. I just sat there and laughed hysterically because it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And it did nothing to help Ken at all. And this went on for about 10 minutes of just Ken screaming and running, and then just Nick, like, a few feet behind with the axe, just flopping everywhere. It was crazy. And nobody did anything until Ken locked himself in the bathroom and was hiding behind a door, which is the worst place to hide when somebody's chasing you with an axe. Like, maybe he'd never seen The Shining, he didn't know how that math adds up, but like, if you were being, like, hiding behind a door when you're being chased with an axe is like hiding behind the sun when you're being chased by an albino baby. So we all decide that it'd be harder to replace a door than it would be to replace Ken. And we just, you know, we go like, "Ken, come on out. Nick, put the axe down. Ken, just blow him. Just get it over with. Just get it done." We didn't make him do that. But I do think that Ken probably has a strong axe fetish now, you know? Probably can't get a boner unless he's being chased through the woods. Sorry, guys. I'm a little bit out of it. I'm trying to quit smoking. If you guys have never tried to quit smoking, if you guys have never smoked, maybe you've never tried quitting, just imagine that you have to fart. Like, you have to fart really badly, but you're in a situation where it would be completely inappropriate for you to fart. So what do? You just hold it in, right? Quitting smoking, it's like holding in a fart for the rest of your life, all right? You just never get to fart again. You just never know the sweet pleasure of release. And, you know, one of my friends was like, who quit smoking, was like, Kevin, you know, don't worry, it gets better. You know, it's not that extreme. You're being a little dramatic. It gets easier with time, and you get used to it, you know? As I imagine I would if I was holding in a fart for the rest of my life, you know? After a couple years, it wouldn't bug me that much, but I think I would always know in the back of my head, you know? I'd just be that asshole, be like, oh, did you guys fart? You guys, don't fart around me. That's disgusting. I can't believe you guys still fart. It's so gross. It just, the smell just lingers in your clothes all day. How do you stand it? God, I could never kiss anyone who farted, all right? I don't even know why you guys are laughing at this, all right? Secondhand farting isn't a funny matter, all right? It's a silent but deadly killer. Oh, man. I tried to start a conversation with a stranger today. Like 10 seconds, and he just turned to me and goes, you're gay and retarded. Like, dude, all I said to you is you're hot like a Power Ranger, all right? Maybe you just can't take a compliment. Hey, thank you guys. I've been Kevin O'Shea. I'm going to be your host and MC tonight. We have a wonderful show for you. Are you guys ready for the next comedian? You might have seen him on Chelsea Lately or in the film No Strings Attached, where he played a fat, bald gay man. Please make a big welcome for Guy Branum, ladies and gentlemen. Guy Branum.
People magazine is trying to tell me that Jennifer Aniston is happy and pregnant with twins. And I don't know what to think. Because I want her to be happy. I do. I think we all do. But at the same time, People magazine has spent the past 10 years telling me that Jennifer Aniston is going to be a barren spinster for the rest of her life because Brad Pitt left her for Angelina Jolie. You can't just pull a 180 on me like that, People magazine. How can I trust you? They do have a really good crossword puzzle at the end, though. And I like the stories about people with leukemia or one arm who triumph. Hello, sir. I like your haircuts. That's a hilarious joke, people who can't see him, because he is bald, and I'm bald, too. And we are thus friends. What is your name, sir? Wyatt, lovely to meet you. Pretty name for a pretty face. Wyatt, did you happen during the course of my introduction to catch my name? Fuck you, Wyatt. You're sitting in the front row at a comedy show, okay? You need to be on your toes. You can't let your brain get soaked in that IPA. You need to be ready to bring it. You see those faggots? They came to bring it. They're prepared, and that guy's wearing a cute sweater. Wyatt, my name is Guy. Good to meet you. Guy is barely a name. The only way my parents could have exerted less effort in naming me would be if they had called me Hey Dude. Or That One Baby Who Lives Here. Do you understand my point, Wyatt? My point is that all of my life I wanted a nickname. I never had one until college. In college, they called me the futon because I was so good at making sex awkward and uncomfortable. You guys may have noticed that I am unusually large for a homosexual. I'm not certain why this is the case. My current working theory is that once my mother realized I was going to be gay, she figured she might as well raise the largest one in the county. If she's not getting grandchildren out of the deal, at least she could get a blue ribbon. Why are you owing about that? Don't be sad for my mother. She spends enough time doing that for herself. Before I go any further, I should make something clear. I am not a rapist. But if I were, you, sir, would totally be my type. Because let's be honest, you're not the cutest guy in the room, but you do look physically weak. And if I were to rape a man, I wouldn't want him to fight back. I couldn't take the rejection. If you resisted, I would just end up in the corner crying about how no man will ever love me. That you can awe about, okay? Because that is my pain and not my mother's. Thank you. A round of applause for yourselves, Cobb's Comedy Club. That's enough. Wyatt, I'm gonna ask you a question, okay? I'm gonna ask you a question. I want you to be perfectly honest. I want you to be perfectly brutal. I want you to be perfectly frank, okay? Wyatt, how old would you say that I am? How old would you say that I am, Wyatt? 31, bless you, bless you. That's so sweet. I am 35, and what that means is that this is what I look like. This is what I look like. At this point, me going to the gym is like Paula Abdul checking into rehab. It is a lovely gesture, but no one thinks it's going to work. Do you work out, sir? I noticed, that's why we're talking. I used to go to a gym. It was a gay gym. There was a lot of pressure. Everyone was ripped, everyone was hairless, everyone was tan. There was a lot of pressure. So I started going to a lesbian gym. It's mainly just batting cages and a small buffet. But I'm more comfortable. And at a lesbian gym, I'm the pretty one. I'm so sorry, ladies. Already lesbians? Oh, I'm sorry. What's so wrong with being a lesbian? Nothing. Where are my dykes at? Hello there, what's your name? Layla, you're gonna keep track of the number of awful things I say about lesbians tonight, okay? How many is that so far? I would go with one, but we're bound to disagree. A lot of people don't understand the relationship between gay men and gay women. It's a very complex relationship that essentially boils down to we have nothing in common other than our civil rights. Can I get an amen, Layla? I feel like the best illustration of the difference between gay men and gay women is the bars that we go to. Like, lesbians really like to play pool. So they have pool tables at their bars. And gay men really like to have sex with each other. So we have pool tables at our bars. And bathrooms. And the street outside. I live in Los Angeles now, but I used to live in San Francisco. And it was always my dream to have a walking tour of all of the places that I have had sex in San Francisco. And I started putting it together, and it worked. It was mostly just walking around the Castro and Noe Valley. But then you had to walk all the way up to the bathroom at the Kabuki 8 Theater. And I think the German tourists would just get sweaty by then. I've missed San Francisco. It is a beautiful, beautiful, amazing city. Like, I've missed it so much. It's so hard to park. It's slightly cold all the time. A studio apartment costs $8,000. Do you know how long it has been since I have been shoved by an old Chinese lady carrying a bag of unidentifiable vegetables? The answer is like 4 hours because I accidentally walked through the Moon Festival today and spent like essentially 2 hours trying to extricate myself from old people shoving at me. But I got to smell kettle corn, so it was okay. I recently went to Portland. And Portland is essentially San Francisco if it quit its job to focus on its music. like, it is San Francisco without responsibility or a purpose. While I was there, I went into the Whole Foods, and at the Whole Foods, they had a bar where you could mix your own trail mix. And I realized, that's everything I hate about Portland and most of the things I hate about hiking all in one place. Because if you are snacking in the middle of something, it is probably not a sport. Also, hiking is not a sport. It is walking without a destination. Wyatt, what kind of bullshit San Francisco job do you have? Do you have a technology job, or do you sell organic cheese to people? You do research? You're a scientist? That's dateable. What kind of research do you do? What do you learn about? You learn about geology? You are a rock scientist? How fascinating. What kind of rocks do you specialize in? Mantle. I have very little material about the Earth's crust, okay, Wyatt? Writing feldspar jokes. I know something about geology. Mohs hardness scale. The Mohs hardness scale is how you determine how hard a rock is. Boom. Wyatt, if I had successfully manned out the punchline of a joke and everyone at Cobb's knew what the Mohs hardness scale was, I would have really succeeded right now. You guys would think I was fucking brilliant. Unfortunately, what I got is dick jokes. Later, I will show you that Mohs hardness scale. The answer is if I've been drinking somewhere around chalk, like it's not great. You know that feeling right after sex, where the thing you want most on the planet is to get as far away as is humanly possible from the person you just fucked? Yeah, that's the trouble with masturbation. Layla, what do you do for a living? God help me, I hope it's something better than geologist. You're an electrician? Of sorts. Why must this be so complex? With lesbians, as always, I have 9 hours of story to tell you and some sort of thing going wrong with my thyroid and can I move in tonight? With the gay guys, it's sex in a bathroom and then never talking again. I'm sorry. We're somewhere around 9 bad things about lesbians. Why are you sort of an electrician? Is it because of President Obama's economy? What? Totally. Would you like to hear a story about the new economy? Okay, so when I was living in Berkeley, there was a period of time when I participated in Craigslist sex. Let's just go with Craigslist sex, okay? And I sort of experimented with learning things about Craigslist sex. And here's a theory of mine. You guys are, how many of you are actual San Franciscans? How many of you are actual San Franciscans? Do you live in San Francisco? I'm just saying, because like people from Dublin Pleasanton will probably be frightened by me talking about weird sex, but people from San Francisco are mostly sex therapists. Like, most people who live in San Francisco work at Good Vibrations and provide the world with cruelty-free butt plugs. And my theory is this. Really attractive people don't have weird kinds of sex. They just are pretty and have nice, polite, vanilla sex, but I'm not one of them. I like to imagine that adorable little gay boys don't even involve their penises in sex. They just bounce around like baby deer until they get tired and fall into a pile. But when you look like me, you have to find a way to keep things interesting. It was a period of time when I needed to refinish my floors. I'm a responsible gay man, my floors weren't amazing, and I needed to sand them down. And it's extremely expensive to rent one of those sanders. So I just put an ad on Craigslist looking for slave bottoms. Then had two guys come over and spend an afternoon sanding my floors while I took off my shirt and yelled at them. Then one of them blew me and the other one took care of himself. And that's the new economy, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody else this weekend is hearing that disgusting, disgusting story. Only you people, and it's Layla's fault. You're welcome. Layla, that's a fascinating name. Is it ethnic? It's after the song. Eric Clapton is kind of an ethnicity. You know, Layla, I am myself a student of culture. I'm a student of culture. But did you know that the native peoples of Hawaii use the word aloha to mean both hello and goodbye? Which is particularly fascinating to me because I use fellatio for very similar purposes. Or did you know, Cobb, did you know that the Inuit peoples of Alaska have over 300 words for snow because of the sheer amount of snow they deal with in their everyday lives? Which always leads me to ask the question, I wonder how many words lesbians have for ugly. Now you may think, Cobbs, after that joke that I am a misogynist. You could not be further from the truth. I consider myself as a gay man to be a partner in the cause of feminism. Like, I recently read a medical journal article which said that gay men's brains work more like women's brains than heterosexual men's brains do. Which makes a lot of sense to me because just the other day I thought to myself, why are my genitals bleeding? Which seems like the sort of thing that would come up for you, ladies. So who is everyone voting for in the Republican primary? Oh, it's very exciting. Like, as nice, polite San Francisco liberals, you've got to be excited to watch that much crazy in one party, you know? Like, we have Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. We have different flavors of crazy, stupid Margaret Thatcher to pick from. I can't decide who I'm more excited about. Like, Sarah Palin is very exciting to me because every time I see her, I sort of want to dress up like her and sing torch songs. Like, she seems like someone who is demanding a drag culture. But Michelle Bachmann, he's married to a clearly gay guy. If Obama has to lose to someone, I kind of want to see that happen. Sarah Palin always gets excited about telling us about how, you know, she got pregnant, like, while she was governor and she kept the baby, and about how her daughter got pregnant and kept the baby. And recently her son got married and announced that he was going to be having a baby 6 months later, which I think does solidly prove that they are a very pro-life family, and also that they are super bad at planning. I don't really care for the Tea Party as a movement. The whole Republican thing, I mean, like, part of me really respects what Republicans are saying about fiscal responsibility and everything like that, but, like, I just can't be a Republican. Like, if I wanted to hang out with a group of people who disagreed with my very existence, I'd go home for Hanukkah. And then, like, the Libertarian and Tea Party people, A, teabagging is not a political movement. It is a beautiful expression of love between a nutsack and a man's face. I will show you later why it's. And B, like, I have a problem with libertarians generally, because essentially what they're saying is, hey, wouldn't it be cool if no one were in charge? And I cannot respect a political philosophy that is also the plot of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. There are conservatives who think that abortion is murder and that fetuses are alive. And I respect that, but I disagree. Because I think if fetuses were alive, you would hear about a lot more haunted vaginas. Did you queef? No, I have a poltergeist. They're saying we shouldn't have nuclear power anymore because of the tsunami in Japan, that it's too unsafe. Like, oh, how could the people of Japan have prepared for a tsunami to crash into their nuclear reactor? How could they have known? Maybe because they invented the word for tsunami. Like, if a country invents the word for a natural disaster, it is their obligation to deal with it. America invented the word for Sherry Shepherd. It is our job to take care of her and make sure she does not annoy us with stories of another one of her weddings. Clearly, the only people who watch The View are over there, and I like you the best. Where are my View watchers at? Shit has gotten crazy since Whoopi showed up. It's gotten really good. It's almost as good as the rosy days, but it will never be that good again. Oh, another thing about nuclear power. If we don't have periodic radiation leaks, where are we supposed to get superheroes from? Like, yeah, sure, hydroelectric power is super safe, but nobody ever became, like, got heat vision from getting bitten by a wet spider. Recently, I went to a Red Lobster for the first time in my life. It was an evening of discoveries. Like, the first thing, I was in Colorado. I was in Colorado with Red Lobster, and they had a tank full of lobsters there, like in the front when you walked in. And I was like, Red Lobster, who are you trying to fool? Nobody thinks that you are taking real live lobsters and cooking them and bringing them to me. No, like, when I go to P.F. Chang's, I don't think that there's an old Chinese man named P.F. Chang in the back cooking for me. I know what there is in the back. Mexicans and a freezer. Red Lobster having a tank of lobsters is like a hooker telling you that she loves you. It is taking a cheap thing and making it cheaper by pretending that it is real. That said, their cheddar biscuits are amazing. Oh, hello, little thing. Oh, I drive a hybrid, you guys. It is a centaur. It is a hybrid between a man and a horse, but it is very fuel efficient. I give it a bag of oats and it takes me around all day long, and it teaches me astronomy. Layla, how many centaur jokes is that? Wait. Has anyone noticed that Nicki Minaj looks like a centaur? Her butt is so big that when you see it, you assume that it is not a butt, but the beginning of a horse. Here's something I've noticed. There sure are a lot of Holocaust museums in this country. First of all, I'm Jewish. I'm allowed to make this observation, okay? So don't get all San Francisco on me, all right? I have thought about these issues a lot. I went to Berkeley. I have a law degree. Don't get all liberaler than thou. Allow me to make a goddamn point, okay? I'm getting kind of combative, aren't I? It's all right. I'm Jewish. We do that. There sure are a lot of Holocaust museums in this country. New York, DC, LA. That's a lot of museums for something that didn't happen here. Slavery, I might remind you, happened here. I've never really seen a museum about it. That's why I'm beginning to wonder if maybe all of those Holocaust museums might not be white America's way of saying passive-aggressively to black America, look, could have been worse. Here's one thing I've never really understood about black people. Why haven't they killed us in our sleep yet? When you think about it, 300 years of slavery, another 150 years of denying the civil rights, killing us in our sleep makes sense. It's the logical choice. You look at the Balkans or the Middle East, way less heinous things happened a lot longer ago. They're still killing babies over it. Black people, by comparison, nary a peep. Now you get the occasional riot in South Central Los Angeles. Or shoddy service at Walgreens. And you say to yourself, damn, black people is being pissy. But you know, every night that I fall asleep and I am not awakened by a piece of wire pulled taut around my neck, as a woman says, Shaquan is a real funny name now, hand it cracker! I feel like I have dodged a bullet that I probably deserve. Before I go, I just want to say one thing. They say, San Francisco, that you should treat your body like a temple. And I do. I do. That's why every Friday I let Jews come in there. Thank you and good evening.
Guy Brenham, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for him. You guys, the other night I was in a bad part of town. Outside of a club where this guy was setting up microphones in front of me. I was in a bad part of town. This girl came up to me and she was like, you know, I know I don't know you or anything, but like, can you like walk me back to my car so I don't get raped? That's a really weird thing to, that's a weird way to put it, but I can totally do that. And I totally did it, and it was totally weird because the whole time, I couldn't stop thinking, this is going to be the greatest example of irony ever. And it totally was. She raped me. I never saw it coming. It's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie with a twist at the end. Are you guys ready for tonight's headliner? Yeah, you are. You might have seen them on the Tonight Show, or you might have heard their debut album, All Over Your Face, that was number one on iTunes Comedy. Let's have a big Cops Comedy Club welcome for Garfunkel and Oates!
Hi, guys!
Hello! Oh, wait, can you
hi!
Yeah, I feel like you guys can see the control tab on my pantyhose. I don't know about that.
What control tab, Ricky?
No, I have a perfect body.
Just one problem. wanted to, I already would have gone down on you. You would have liked it, but that will never happen. No amount of alcohol could change my mind at all. Our lips will never touch, so kiss that thought goodbye. I would never have sex with you, sorry. Believe me, you know it if I wanted to. I already would have held hands with you.
But that will never happen.
So
one night Ricky got the most amazing booty call message of all time.
It was so amazing that, like, literally the next day I took my phone to a recording studio and was like, please make me an MP3 of this, because I can never, like, it doesn't get any better than this. I got it at 3:48 on a Tuesday from someone I've never dated, and they kind of didn't really know. And it went like this exactly. I said, hey Ricky, it's Malcolm. I'm calling because I'm drunk and I know you won't judge me. So let's get into some shit. Crazy shit. Naked. Alcohol. Shit just got real. And then he hung up. He didn't say where he was. Like, do you want to hang out? Not just naked. Alcohol. Shit just got real.
That's really confident on his part.
I know.
Like, you know,
like, I know where he
she's just going to find me.
Yeah. Yeah. And my favorite part used to be naked alcohol, shit just got real, but then it became, I'm calling because I know you won't judge me. I'm like, wrong! You do not know that. Not only will I judge you, I'll memorize the message, get an MP3 made, write a song about it, and tell everyone. So, so here's my song.
Morning, and you misspell my name. You slept with half my friends on Facebook, and most of them think you are lame. You say that with me it's different, and you're not that big of a dick. And if you disappear, it's because you're busy, not because you're with some other chick. I know that this might be uncouth, but I decided to tell you the truth. My self-esteem's not low enough to date you. It's close, but not quite there. It'd be time to get a little more desperate, and you and I can make an awesome pair. A totally awesome pair. I seem like your perfect target, like I've been lonely for too long. You think I haven't had sex in forever, and I'll admit that you are not wrong, and I would rather have no one than this crap. Let me reaffirm, I wouldn't touch your dick if I'd been poisoned and the antidote was in your sperm. I know that this might be uncool, but I decided to tell you the truth. My self-esteem's not low enough to date you. It's so close, but not quite there. Maybe time to get a little more wasted, and you and I can make an awesome pair. Totally awesome pair. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you. You are such a nice audience, guys.
I used to live in San Francisco for like 9 months, like 10 years ago, so I feel at home. Not really, but the one thing I thought was weird was everyone in San Francisco sort of like hated LA. And I'd be like, oh, I'm moving to LA. I'm like, don't do it. Everyone there sucks and blah, blah, blah. And everybody, I mean, it's true, right? Like, San Francisco kind of hates LA. But what I thought was the funniest is the rivalry is totally one way. Because you go down to LA and I'm like, oh, what do you think of San Francisco? And people are like, oh, here it's nice. Yeah. They're pretty. Oh, I went there once. They have good food or whatever. Like, there's no feeling whatsoever the other way, which I thought was, or except, you know, vague good things. So I thought that was kind of funny.
LA is nice, and so is San Francisco.
And there are assholes everywhere.
Yeah. But there are good people everywhere, too.
I'm from a town of 1,000, and I think we probably have the highest percentage of assholes in my hometown, maybe. Definitely more than in LA, just per capita.
Oh, yeah.
I think. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. judging from how many people from my town have contacted you on Facebook.
It is a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ricky, I say hi. Okay. So this next song is a love song. So we're gonna bring it down a little bit. And in it, Ricky plays a lady, and I play a man.
This is a love song for straight people.
Yes.
They probably know that from the fact that we're at a comedy club.
Oh.
Yeah.
Many answers to find. Can I give up all I've imagined? Am I magical enough for this to happen? Because I her. I'll try to be less of a loser. Because I like you. And like can lead to like, and like can lead to love. Sure as the stars above, I'd really like to kiss you, fuck you, kiss you, fuck you, fuck you.
Girl, I know you felt it.
I can't help it. You know what I wanna do, so kiss me. Beneath the milky twilight, lead me. Out on the moonlit floor, lift your open hand. Strike up the band and make the fireflies dance. Silver moon sparkling. One, you're like a dream come true. Two, just wanna be with you. Three, girl, it's plain to see that you're the only one for me. And four, repeat steps one through three. Five, make you fall in love with me. If ever I believe my work is done, then I start back again. Tick-tock, you don't stop until the 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 tick-tock, you don't stop. I wanna sex you up. Sex you up. Come on, Barbie, let's go party. I said, what the Craig is not to me. She said, I think I never the film. And as I recall, I think both kind of liked it. And I said, well, that's the one thing we've got. And oh, I want to thank you for giving the best of me all my life. You know, just to be with you, the best of me all my life. She says, days go by, I don't know why I'm walking on a ladder. And I close my eyes and my
disappointment.
What a bummer. Must have ruined
the day. Congratulations to Princess Beatrice for graduating. know who they are, but then you don't have any idea who they are.
Wait, so. Oh no, I messed that up.
You did?
Yeah, you run into someone and they know who you are, but you don't know who they are. That's it, yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and then like, they're talking to you and you're like, what? And then they get mad because they catch you.
But we have a theory as to why that happens.
Yeah.
You say hello, and I say hello back. You say it's nice to see me again. Crap, this conversation just keeps going. Want to get through this without you knowing. You can see it in my eyes, my calculating bullshit lies. You look at me so hard because I don't recognize you at all. Now am I an asshole or are you just boring? It's one of these two things, must be true. Am I self-absorbed, preoccupied, and shockingly petty? Or is there just nothing memorable about you? Well, even if I'm arrogant and totally suck, I'm still betting on the latter because your plan is fucked. I don't know who you are. I don't have a freaky clue, so get a catchphrase, get an accent, fuck your face up with a tattoo. Okay, so fine, so now you know that I don't know, so there you go. You don't even look a little familiar to me.
Yeah,
there you go. That's perfect.
Smoking.
This song is the first song we ever had walkouts to, which was very exciting for us.
That was amazing. It was at the University of Washington at the freshman orientation. So like the first day, and all the sort of Ed Hardy guys like found each other somehow on the first day.
Like, oh hey, you have a dragon on your shirt and I have a dragon on my shirt. Let's be friends.
Yeah, but we started singing this song and they like got up and they were like, fuck this, and they started walking up. We were like, yeah! Everyone started clapping, and that wasn't the effect they were hoping for. I don't know if they thought we were gonna like cry. I don't know what they thought.
Like we're gonna be like, don't go, everybody, don't go with that kid. We were excited.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So here's our song about douchebags.
Hit it, DJ.
We roll up to the bar, that's how we do. Garfunkel and the rest of the crew. Give a dollar to my homegirl and watch that bitch go. She hits up the jukebox and puts on Jim Croce. Operator, can you help me place this call? We're laughing and talking and the drinks are flowing and I'm liking the direction this night is going. But then I look up and something has changed. Everyone around us looks fucking deranged.
I look to my left, I look to my right. Nothing but gone Dutch hats in sight. The super tight abs and super tan skin. I swear this ain't the club that I walked in.
Techno music starts to play and the room smells like Axe body spray. I'm like gold in my ear with no gold in my ear. Please tell me what the hell happened here.
No, it ain't pretty, but you know it's the truth. This party just took a turn for the douche.
For the douche, for the douche, for the motherfucking douche. Thought it was a perfect party. Now it's just a lot of Ed Hardy.
This party just took a turn for the douche.
And the room smells like Axe body spray. I'm like, well, no.
To girls in their teeth.
Don't need sleeves of my shirt, just rip them off and leave them exposed like Bernie Madoff. Fake tan so brown you can call me Foxy. Gonna pop my collar like Lima Pops Oxy.
Got car chasing Mr. T, and I pity the fuck while you mess with me. Cause I'm doing roids till my balls get teeny like Dennis Quaid theater space.
Up inside the weenie getting crunk on brewskis with my broskis. Cooler than Ice Cube wearing snow skis. Sweeter than the life of Zach and Cody.
Higher than the voice of Truman Capote.
Yeah, I'll drop a G for that bottle of goose. This party just took a turn for the douche. For the douche, for the douche, for the motherfucking douche. Thought it was a perfect party. And now it's just a lot of Ed Hardy.
This party just took a turn for the douche.
Spiked as fuck. Then I last kicked in like General Custer and I'm assessing the damage like a claims adjuster. I ain't your daddy, but I'll call you son. Yeah, I get metaphysical like fucking John Dunn.
I'm holding up the beats like I was Lloyd Dobler. Girls run the dance floor shaking their cobbler. I'm cool like LL, fly like Jeff Goldblum, and I'm gonna find the biggest toe in this room.
Rose Wax is Brazilian, her manicure is French. Jean Nate is her signature stench. She's got rocks in her fingers and beneath her areolas. Her garden's more savage than
just a Jerry Cola's. Her heels are as clear as my attention to banger. Hope she's birth control like Margaret Sanger. Gonna vote her, still vote her by fever. Her fever, take her gold for cash. Then motherfucking leave her.
I'm in love with you, cousin. I'm George Michael Blue. This party just took a turn for the douche.
Oh, the douche for the douche for the motherfucking douche. Thought it was a perfect party. Now it's just a lot of Ed Hardy.
This party just took a turn for the douche for the douche for the motherfucking douche. Thought it was a perfect party. Now it's just a lot of Ed Hardy.
This party just took a turn for the douche. Fuck you.
Your face
and your mother.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I feel like that song keeps getting longer.
Longer and longer. We had a guy in Utah dress appropriately as like the most perfect douchebag, and he jumped on stage with us while we were singing that. And he was dancing really hard.
He didn't realize that he jumped on like the first. his verse.
Yeah, he was there from the beginning, and then halfway through, he's like,
oh. And then he kind of gave up.
Yeah. We're like, it's a long song. We've talked about
trying to climb the stairs today.
Oh, man. We took a lot of stairs. We are not in shape, we realize. Look. That's me.
I think both of us are like trying to perfect the art of having as much body fat as possible without gaining any weight. And it's working out, so.
We're just turning into Jell-O.
I know. We never gain any weight, but I feel like we still have comedian bodies. Somehow, like, underneath it all. Yeah. Not that we eat any food, but...
No.
That would help.
So we wrote this next song. It's a newer song. We wrote it for our ex-boyfriends.
So, yeah.
1, 2, 3, I fucking hate you, you fucking liar. Thank you. That's it. And they went on like 4, maybe 5 dates, and he always brought his friend along. This guy, Steve, was just constantly in the way.
Yeah, and every time we went out, I thought like that was gonna be the time he didn't bring Steve, and I was always wrong, and I was like, I can't believe he's here again. And then we went out like 3 or 4 times, and then the next time he's like, do you wanna go to Mexican Circuit? So I'm like, well, I can't pass this up. But I figure I'm gonna bring Kate because I know there.
And so I got to see Steve in action, which was like mind-blowing. He was sitting in between Ricky and her date, and I'm like, hey, why don't you just come over here and sit next to me? And he was like, no, I'm cool.
Yeah.
And we went to the Mexican Circus, and he sat in between them the entire time.
Yeah.
But if you ever have a chance to go to the Mexican Circus,
go. Yeah, it's like true danger. It's
amazing.
It's like those nets aren't holding anybody, you know?
There's like a man throwing knives at a lady who I'm assuming is his wife, and then he's also like training these poodles, but they like look kind of sick and they're all different colors and they're like on the line.
Yeah, it was like vastly understaffed. Like no one is good at that much stuff. And then he's like tightroping for like there's like 3 performers.
But it's so worth seeing. Yeah, so check it out if you have a chance.
Yeah, but anyway, we wrote this song for this guy.
Oh, and it's the first time that somebody was in the audience that the song was about.
Then we played, yeah, the first time we played it, the guy came to the show.
Alone.
I came alone. It was the first time. He didn't come with Steve. I couldn't, yeah. We almost didn't sing it because I'm like, he's there and Steve is not here. And
I was like, we don't have to play it. And Ricky's like, no, we'll play it.
I was like, fuck it.
And the guy was just like,
yeah, no, literally, his head kind of turned like during the whole song. He was like, and then just stayed like that. And we're like, cool. I kept trying not to look at him, but it's like, when you're like talking to someone and there's a mirror right there, you know, you're always like, I'm not gonna look at myself, but it's right there, and you keep catching it. Like, I don't want to be that asshole, and you keep looking at it. It was like that, and now it's like, there he was. So here's the song. Oh. We changed the key before the show.
Key change!
Musical.
Steve, you didn't. the circus, I started to date Steve. But it didn't last long because he had a bunk bed. So. Oh, but we just found this out.
Oh, you're gonna remember that. Yeah. Do you guys know what the Urban Dictionary is?
Yeah.
I did not know what this was until last week, but we are in it.
We just got this email to us.
I wonder who took that much time to write this entry, though.
Whoever did a wonderful job.
Yes, they did.
Steved, a reference to the Garfunkel Notes song You, Me, and Steve. A Steve is someone who is a cop block or a third wheel that will not leave. To be Steved is when you do not hook up with someone exclusively due to the presence of a Steve. A Steve can be a clueless friend of either the romantically or otherwise involved duo, or just an annoying stranger. The situation can be remedied by one person informing the Steve that they are Steving. And my favorite part is they have two examples. Scarlett says, Alice, you are totally Steving me right now. And then Fred says, I was going to hook up with Sandra last night, but I got Steved hardcore by Johnny. Fucking Johnny.
It plays usually at like 4:30 in the morning on ABC Family, and it kind of looks like a Canadian show, you know, where it's like kind of shitty, but you don't know why. You know what I mean? It's like, that looks bad, and I can't put my finger on it, you know. Or like when they play movies on E, you're like, why does that look awful? That's that show. And when the whole Prop 8 thing was happening in California, he said something to the equivalent of, if you legalize gay marriage, it would lead to legalizing sex with ducks. Yeah.
But he only said ducks.
He only said ducks. That's the only animal he named, which is kind of the best part of it. Because I feel like no matter what happens, ducks are going to be fine.
There are probably other animals that would be better suited.
Yeah,
I'm more worried about the horses than goats.
Oh yeah.
Sheep, maybe.
I don't know where his mind was at that he said that. But then we thought about it some more, and we think that he's right. I mean, two people committing themselves for the rest of their lives to be in a relationship, in a monogamous relationship, and be a family in the eyes of God and the government and everyone they know, and putting your penis in a duck, same thing.
So this song's for him.
Yeah.
Bitch, I don't really care. I'm being polite, I'll see you no light now, and you're pregnant.
remember what I did before I was pregnant. Everything just seems so meaningless.
Shaking hard on a Georgia O'Keeffe bouquet. I never guessed this trampling machine.
there's not like a ton of shopping. Yeah. Looks good.
Hey, I hope they don't arrest me when I wear this hat. Send me to Alcatraz.
Actually, I tried to go to Alcatraz today and it was sold out.
Yeah.
Funny, a jail being sold out.
No, I went a few years, I don't know. I haven't like seen prisons. I think it's really creepy. I don't know. I was like, why did I do this? I went to that one, and then I went to the prison that Nelson Mandela stayed in, and I was like, then I'm never going again to another prison. It's weird and creepy, and they're all really small. Then your head starts getting really depressed. Imagine it. I have this weird fear of false imprisonment that starts like, I start getting really weird and walking around. And I don't know if you guys, the one thing I remember about Alcatraz is there was a guy named Creepy Carpus. Do you guys remember, have you guys been to Alcatraz? Yeah, there was this guy, Creepy Carpus, one of his pictures everywhere, and they have his voice on the, whatever it's called, the guide. And he haunted my dreams for like a year.
Creepy Carpus?
Creepy Carpus.
Carpus.
Yeah. Creepy Carpus, yeah.
That'd be creepier.
Yeah. If his parents named him that, then it's their fault he ended up in Alcatraz.
Let's name him Creepy.
And he shall be named
Creepy.
Well, guys, we only have one more song for you.
Yeah.
You've been so awesome.
Thank you so much for coming. You guys have been amazing. And they say, I like your Garfunkel Notes t-shirt.
So it totally works if you look in the mirror.
Yeah. And you should buy our album because we look really hot on the cover.
The picture is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We should explain.
Okay, so basically what happened is we were going for like the jump in the air picture, you know, and our photographer like clicked on it late, and this is how the picture ended up. So ready? Yeah. So, like, we just, and you can't make your face look as bad as, it looks, you can only look that bad coming down from the gun. And like our eyes are so dead, and we're just like.
And we saw it, we laughed so hard, he's about to delete it, and we were like, no, that's the cover.
And he was like, take my name off it, we're like, no problem, that's the cover.
You can take a look on your eyes.
He's like, please let me Photoshop all the crap out of the background. We're like, no.
We like all the crap in the background.
Like that.
But guys, really, thanks again. You guys are awesome. We have one more song for you, and basically what you need to know is Ricky and I, we were very late bloomers.
Yeah, and when you're late bloomer, you kind of like go from like kissing to sex, but you kind of skip third base altogether.
Yeah, basically we're really bad at giving hand jobs.
Yeah. And then like once you're 25, no one will teach you. So, it's really a cautionary tale for people out there who are young enough to still learn.
Yeah, you don't want to.
You don't want to end up like us, yeah.
So, we did have really one nice man who said, hey, I saw you have this problem, and he sent an email with a link, a how-to. And I got really excited, and I clicked on it, and there was only one step. It said, use your mouth.
So, thanks, man. So, DJ, hit us up.
Samantha Ronson. I should have explored the frontiers like Will Wheaton. I was more conservative than Alice Cooper.
need a translator like I'm reading Balzac to crack the Rosetta Stone over your ballsack.
The top is the part that confuses me the most. It looks like a silly putty Pac-Man ghost. Sometimes it's Jello Jingle, sometimes it's Dexter, but they all look like a Darth Vader Pez dispenser.
Like Sam Jackson, I'm not as quick as Shaq. When I'm soft and flabby like President Taft, it's like a deep cell pain that you want to make straight. Will I make it upright if I move it like a shake weight? Move it like a shake weight, move it like a shake weight. I'll be pulled until I get the golden touch of Midas. I think therefore I am getting my day card on until I fully comprehend your Marcia Gay hard on.
So the biggest throbbing question of all, seriously, what do you do with the balls? Do I roll them like dice? Do I mold them like clay? Do I tickle them like elbow or throw them like a parfait?
Do I move them all around or cup it slow? Do the two old critic puppets from the Muppet Show just sitting there breaking it superfluous?
How about I don't touch them unless you insist?
Do I spit? Do I squeeze? Do I ever touch a top? How can I learn when you always make me stop? How can I learn when you always make me stop?
Yeah, Levin, Kevin O'Shea, thank you for coming out. Get home safe tonight.